Get up! Get out of here and go!
It's playoff time once again in Milwaukee. And now it's time to break down the game. This is Brewers Extra Innings in the Playoffs. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee. Here's your host, Bob Brainerd.
Cubs win 6-0, game 4. That means there'll be a game 5 on Saturday. That's all. Good night, everybody. For Jerry Augustine, I'm Bob Brainerd. We're kidding. But really, Augie, 6-0, the Cubs had 3 runs in the first inning on the Ian Happ home run. The Brewers only had 3 hits in this ball game. Simply the story, the power, the 3 home runs, and the terrific pitching and the terrific start that they got from their starter tonight.
Yeah, Matthew Boyd was excellent tonight. You know, a little bit different from what he did last time. Really dominated the strike zone. The biggest thing with him tonight, he used all his off-speed pitches, his breaking ball. He was throwing for strikes. He was getting ahead of hitters. I think after the fifth inning or sixth inning, he still only had in the early 50s in pitching. When you're that efficient and you throw all your pitches for strikes, I think you're going to be pretty successful. But he started out with the game being very aggressive in the strike zone. He was going to go right after Brewer hitters. He was not going to give in to their good hitters. He knew the guys that he had to keep off the bases, and it worked out really well for him.
I mentioned this, and you and I talked about this on Brewer's warm-up earlier this evening. He is the first pitcher in this series, first starting pitcher in
That's
this
right.
series, to put a zero up in the first inning. Everybody else has been nicked up, including Freddie Peralta in the bottom half of the first inning, gives up the 3-run home run. You saw him on the hill. He react as soon as he let the pitch go and it was hit by Happ. He stomped, upset with himself for hanging that ball right over the middle.
Yeah, Matthew Boyd was really aggressive. He came out aggressive. A lot of guys who pitch like he does are more of a command-style pitcher. They stay back and they try to doctor and throw the pitches on the corners and do that. But he was very aggressive that first inning. You could tell he wanted to get through that first inning. Freddie, I thought tonight, changed himself a little bit. He's still fastball Freddie, and he dominates with his fastball. It looked like the first inning he was trying to get by with throwing his off-speed stuff. Had a little problem with his changeup. Couldn't throw it for a strike. A little bit with the breaking ball. Got himself in a little bit of trouble. And then he threw a fastball, got it up over the middle of the plate to Happ, and Happ put a good swing on it.
Yeah, what else did you see from Freddie? I mean, because then as it went on, he got through some innings, but it was still, the pitch count was going up. He was not sharp. And maybe the home run disturbed him a little bit going forward. Again, he was able to wiggle out of problems and put a couple zeros up. But again, a lot of pitches, and we've seen that with Freddie before where he just isn't sharp. Not as sharp as Boyd was to start his first.
Yeah, he threw 83 pitches over the time that he's in the ballgame, the 4 innings. I thought tonight he didn't have his command of his off-speed stuff that he usually doesn't. But Freddie can usually make those adjustments. I thought he still pitched very well. And doing what he did, he came out of the game. We were still in the game. Score was 3-0. He kept us in the game like he was supposed to.
He made a mistake, right? I mean, the pitch that Happ hit, that was a mistake.
That was. I think he was trying to get it up and in more, and the ball got over the middle of the plate. And that happens. And, you know, I just thought tonight he came out trying to show the Cubs that he could throw his off-speed stuff, be very consistent with it, and he got himself in a little bit of trouble. He got a couple guys on base, and then, like you said, he just wanted a fastball. He wanted that fastball up and in on a guy to make him go after, Happ to go after, and just leaked over the plate a little bit, and Happ was waiting for it and hit the ball at the ballpark.
Something else that I think was a factor, and the guys touched on it in the post-game show, but you and I, we noticed it just watching the game, and when the home team hits a 3-run home run, this kind of gets the crowd ignited, but they had a different vibe, you know, it's under the lights. It's, you know, everybody was kind of into the game at Wrigley Field from the very get-go. And I think that's why Boyd was feeding off of that. And then Happ certainly feeds off of that. And after that, that crowd just kind of took it and ran and gave that home team the momentum.
I think that's the magic of the Brewers and the Cubs. I mean, there's great fans in Chicago. They back the Cubs. They do sing their songs after the game and do all those good things. But the Brewer fans are just as good. Or probably, I think the Brewer fans are the best in all of baseball. And they were alive. They were alive, and they were looking for something. What were we going to do? We're still down 2-1. We have to do something special. And when Happ hit that home run, everybody just got ignited a little bit. And the stands, everybody was involved in it. And I'm going to tell you what, Boyd, when he hit that home, Boyd really took over and he really threw the ball very well.
Yeah, he gave them the start that he wanted to have in game number one. That's something else that we talked about on warm-up, is Boyd leaves after two-thirds of an inning in Milwaukee. He just gets cuffed around.
That's right.
And they were not expecting that. They were shell-shocked. He was shell-shocked. So he was looking for redemption, not against the Brewers, but for himself. He wanted to redeem himself for his ball club and for his fans. So he needed to be locked in from the get-go, and he certainly redeemed himself, Augie.
He sure was. He was. You know, you talk about it. We talked about the aggressiveness he was in that first inning. Getting through that first inning, throwing a zero up was so huge for him. And you look at what he did after that, he got into situations where he got himself in a little bit of trouble. But what was he able to do? He was able to make that good pitch, that good fastball pitch on the corner, good breaking ball, kept the ball on both sides of the plate. I thought what he did tonight, he did better than I seen him pitch a couple of times. He expanded the strike zone.
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers are good when they can expand the strike zone. And I think that's a little bit where Freddie had a little bit of a problem tonight. He wasn't precise with his pitches like he wanted to. The changeup was down. He wasn't commanding it, where he can usually command it. If you throw a couple for a strike, wow, all of a sudden the strike zone opens up and you can get through things a lot easier using all your pitches, your fastball and your secondary pitches. Tonight Freddie had a little bit of a problem with that, but I'm gonna tell you what, kudos to Freddie. He went out and he got himself in situations. He really had to make some good pitches, and he did that.
Yep, the Cubs starting pitcher, he set the table, and the offense came through, and they finished the meal, winning 6-0 to force a winner-take-all, Game 5, Saturday night, back in Milwaukee at American Family Field. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, the guy who usually sits in my chair is on the West Coast. He saw a wild one between the Phillies and Dodgers. Dom's going to join us when we come back. Sing it, Augie. Every little thing, you're going to be all right. Almost the witching hour here. In the Midwest, going on midnight. Brewers After Dark continues here. Extra Innings with Bob Brainerd and Jerry Augustine. Milwaukee, it's playoff time. Just like the crew brings the energy on the field, Fifth Third Bank brings it to your business. With local expertise and 15 years in Milwaukee, they will help you score your next big win. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member, FDIC. 6-0 the final down at Wrigley Field, which means to come back to Milwaukee. Prime time will be the only playoff baseball game going on because the Tigers and Mariners will settle their score with their Game 5 out in Seattle tomorrow. The score is settled on the other side of the National League because the Dodgers and Phillies series is over. In a weird, wild, and wacky way, it's over. The Dodgers advance. They are going to come back with another shot at the title as they advance to the National League Championship Series. And Dom Catronio was out there watching from upstairs. And Dom, talk about how bizarre that ending was. It's still just a head scratcher.
I blacked out. I can't believe.
So did the Phillies pitcher,
the
right?
That way. I feel bad for Orion Kirkring, man. That's a modern day Bill Buckner moment right there. I mean, that's brutal. I feel for him. And the Dodgers 2 runs scored on a bases loaded walk and an E1. Like,
yeah.
Playoff baseball to a T. But I mean, look, we can sit here and talk about that game. Nobody cares. We want to sit here in misery, right? We want to sit here and complain. We want to sit here and freak out. We want to sit here and, you know, think that the season is already over. I didn't hear no bell. What are we doing?
No bell.
You should see the war zone that is my social media right now. You guys know me. I'm a glass half full kind of guy, and to my own detriment, I understand that. But I see what everyone else is seeing. They haven't played well these last 2 days. Doesn't mean the series is over. Let's come right back home. You never know what's going to happen. I see fixes that the Brewers can do that are fixes that we've seen them do in real time all season long. 0-for-12 with runners on base. Not even scoring position, right? Runners on base. Walk. 6 walks today from their pitching staff. That is not their MO. So when you look at it, if the Brewers lost these 2 games playing up to their standard and playing well, that's really like, oh man, geez, that's not good. Whereas you can identify things, and you may argue, Dom, that's just baseball, right? There's always things that are going to go wrong, always things that you can point out and nitpick, and you're absolutely right. But the Brewers did not play to their identity these last 2 games. And they looked like it a little bit last night, starting to scrap back and try to come back and score, and you tip your cap. I don't think they played even close to their best baseball tonight, and they know that.
Here's the thing, Dom. You throw Freddy Peralta in game four because you want to step on their throats and you want to get this game, this series over in four. It doesn't work out, but whatever the Brewers do, and Pat Murphy, Chris Hook, they go into the lab, right, and they try to figure out, are we going to start Miz or are we going to piecemeal this, you know, somehow? What are we going to do? They have been there before, been there, done that, and in this series, you know, throw tonight, but in the first three games, the bullpen has been outstanding, giving up just one base hit, right? Was it a base hit or a run?
Until tonight.
It's late back here in the Midwest. 18 innings, Dom. This is before tonight. 18 innings, one earned run, a 131 batting average. The piecemeal bullpen for Milwaukee in games one through three has been great. So they got to do that again in game five. Like I said, they've been there. This is not going to be weird for them to go and try and do this again.
Well, I mean, I didn't love Aaron Ashby again. He's been really exposed this series. Didn't, you know, only threw barely over half his pitches for strikes today. He would like today back with those two walks. I know they got one out for Chad Patrick. I think he's going to be a big factor in Saturday's game because, quite frankly, I mean, Augie, I think you can vouch for this. I think Chad Patrick has been maybe the best pitcher on the Brewers in this division series, and I don't think that's hyperbole. I mean, it's between him or maybe even Jared Koenig. I know he allowed the homer, and he had a tough one in Game 3, but, I mean, Chad Patrick, you might be able to ride that for a couple of innings and see where you're at. That's who I'm handing the ball to start the game. I know you have Quinn. I know you have Miz. I want the guy that I know is going to get me an out and that first inning. I mean, it's amazing. It's an MLB record for the runs in the first inning, right?
I think when you look at what the situation is right now, I think you put it in a good spot. If you look at what he has done in each and every time he's been out there, Chad Patrick has thrown the ball just outstanding. He's located, doesn't walk guys. He gets ahead of hitters, makes good pitches, and doesn't give up any runs. And I think the one thing when thinking about that, yeah, you do have guys like you could all go with a Miz or you could go with a couple other guys, but you need to start off the game and you need to be positive from the beginning. What has hurt the Brewers in the last several days is they've been giving runs up early in the ball game. Yesterday and today was the opening inning that made the difference in the ball game. And so I think when you look at it, I think what the Brewers are going to want to do, I think what Chris Hook and Jim Henderson are going to go into Murph and say, you know what, we need to get someone out there that's really commanded the ball, throwing strikes, doesn't give up things, been able to locate it, and that's been Chad Patrick. He's thrown the ball very well.
And on that front, too, I think that the big thing we talked about runs in the first, I mean, it's home runs. I mean, that's what it really is.
Yeah.
The Cubs in this series have done next to nothing with runners in scoring position. I mean, it's the home runs. That's the whole story of this series. And we talked about it in game one, right? The nine runs without a homer for the Brewers. And then they brought out the big sticks in game two. And they're going to need those again because we've talked about the homers ad nauseum since the All-Star break. And if something's going to change, they're going to have to change it fast as far as be the team that gets out homered twice, you know, and win games in the postseason. That doesn't happen very often in October, but home runs certainly help. And the way I see it, guys, is like the first inning, it's not, I mean, Michael Bush is hot. Kyle Tucker maybe finally woke up today, and that's not good news either. But the way I see it is that the quote from Pat Murphy that I remember, and I think, Augie, you agree with this statement, that home runs are pitched. They're not
hit. Right.
Like, the Brewers are making mistakes. And the Cubs are capitalizing. And that's where I think the apprehension and the fear comes from.
Well, you know, a lot of times when you talk about home runs being pitched, anytime you go back, and there's not many times that you go out where it's been a really good pitch in a zone that a guy hits the ball at a ballpark. I think Bowers last night, Jake Bowers, hit a pretty good pitch that was down and away. And he drove the ball at a ballpark off of Kittredge. And I thought that was just a great swing, probably one of the best swing home runs that we saw. But the way the Cubs are getting it, the Brewers are coming in and getting in situations in the count where trying to make too fine of a pitch on a location and they're getting hurt with it. That's what happened to Freddie tonight. In the first inning, Freddie couldn't get his changeup and his off-speed stuff, and he's trying to set a tone in the game with his off-speed stuff and then come back with the fastball. After the home run, he changed it. He went back to what he did better. He used the fastball, but he still got himself in trouble because he couldn't command the off-speed stuff tonight. And that's going to happen, but I thought Freddie did pitch very well except for the one pitch pitch mistake that he made. That he made half the three-run homer. But I thought other than that, he threw the ball very well.
All right, Dom. So you mentioned, you know, we talked about Miz as a possibility. You mentioned Chad Patrick. Who do you think at least gets the ball on Saturday in Milwaukee to at least be the opener, the starter, if you will?
I'm sticking with my call. Like, if I was Pat Murphy, I'd go with Chad Patrick. But I think that they're going to have reasonings for and against it. You know, you have a fresh Quinn Priester. He is going to factor into Game 5 some way, shape, or form.
I
do believe that from the bottom of my heart. So I do think you're going to see some variety of chaos where maybe even open with like Jared Koenig to neutralize Michael Busch in the early portion of the game, right? Because Counts refuses to play him against lefties. Maybe he finally will, even though because he hit homer off Gasser today against the lefty. So I think you need to be chaotic. I think you need to be kind of like what they did in Game 2. You know, everyone assumes Priester, everyone assumes Miz. Like, we don't know. And I think the way I see it, the Brewers are not going to be a traditional starter in this game. This is where not having Brandon Woodruff really stings. This is where not having Quinn Priester's performance in Game 3 really stinks. Like, hey, whoa, that was not on the script that I read. So the way I see it, the Brewers need to be creative. The Brewers need to be crazy. And I think we'll see an opener from the Cubs and then Shota, but we're going to see a bulk of Shota Imanaga on the other side.
Yeah, the wheels, you know, they're already turning in Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy's head. When we come back in Brewers Extra Innings, more from Dom on the left coast and Augie and I back here after midnight in Milwaukee. As the temperatures drop here in Wisconsin, don't risk a cold shower. Now through October 31st, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical offering $200 off a new water heater plus a free 5-year extended labor warranty. Stay cozy. Visit Sider.com today. Bob Brainerd, Jerry Augustine, and Dom Catronio on the West Coast. Brewers lose Game 4, 6-0 to the Cubs, which means there's a Game 5. If you guys want to talk amongst yourselves, TBS just finished up their post-game show. Now they're showing Major League, so I'm going to just go watch.
I was literally about to say this.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go watch that because I've never seen it more than 37 times. But Dom, Augie, during the break, he was kicking around some other Brewer pitching ideas and where they might fit into the pitching puzzle. Augie, Jose Quintana, right?
Well, you know what? A veteran guy. You know, and you look at, you know, he's been injured a little bit, but he still threw the ball pretty well the other night. He kept the team at bay, didn't give up any runs, did what he needed to do. You know, he's a lefty and a guy that you might could go to, a veteran guy that you get him. Would he be a guy that you say he's starting to give you 4? No, he might just start and give you 2. But Dom's idea of starting with a lefty is a good idea. I don't know. The only problem I have with that, Dom, would be do you want to let Koenig pitch early in the ball game? Because there's two hitters that are swinging the bat as good as anybody other than Horner are Busch and Tucker right now. And I'll tell you what, those two guys late in the game can cause some damage. So I like the idea with him, but then you don't have Ashby because he threw a lot of pitches tonight. It'd be really interesting to see what move they make. We have a plethora of guys we can go to. Anybody on the on this pitching staff we can go to. It could be very interesting.
I think, though, with the pitch count and everything, everyone's available. It's Game 5. Everybody's available. Everybody's going to pitch. Ashby is going to pitch in that game, I imagine. What window is he going to get is my question. Does he start the game again? And then do they counter with Turner leading off again and Suzuki hitting third? Right? Like, that's something that Council would do if he finds out Aaron Ashby or Jared Koenig is starting, for that matter. So I do think that there's a really important, you know, we talk about playing chess and I love chess, and we talk about your opening move, your opening gambit, and there's so many names and labels to these gambits. Like, are you gonna activate your knight first? Are you gonna go just simple with pawns? Are you gonna try to activate your bishops early? Like, there's so many different openings that you can use. Like, all right, are the Brewers gonna go with a traditional guy? I do see the fear of, like, well, if you use your leverage arm early, you don't have him available late, and then you continue to expose Ashby late, which is a real fear once you get that third, fourth time against a reliever. It's the same effect as a starter the third time through the order. So the Brewers have a very big decision, but I think that what they're going to do is the top of the order is probably going to see a new arm every time they come up. I just really believe that. I think Michael Busch, if he's leading off, is going to see 4 or 5 different arms every time he comes up to the plate.
Dom, Augie and I were talking about this while we were watching the game down at Wrigley Field. It's certainly a different time in baseball when it comes to pitching in the postseason. I mean, out there, you saw Clayton Kershaw come in the middle of a game. You saw Ranger Suarez come in the middle of a game. We've seen Madison Bumgarner start games for the Giants and then close games in the World Series. It's a different animal now. And with all the analytics and all the pitching breakdowns, and like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Brewers actually did that and said, here's our guys, you get one inning each, go out there and give us three outs.
Right, and that's risky because it just takes one, it's a house of cards. One guy falls and the whole thing falls down, and you're facing a traditional starter on the other side with a bullpen that's ready to go. So the way I see it for the Brewers, it obviously hinges on their pitching. We can sit here and talk pitching all night, guys, but the Brewers got shut out tonight, and that obviously can't happen in Game 5. And 0 for 12 with runners on base, 0 for 4 with runners in scoring position, 0 for 6, I think. I want to hear from you guys the bunt. I get it and I don't at the same time. Joey got down a good bunt. They played for the sacrifice. They got the top of the order up to face Boyd. Third time through, they knew Counsel was going to be quick to pull him. For me, you're down three. A bunt doesn't do anything. I'm sorry. Like, I understand trying to avoid getting into double play or something like that with Joey, who's been a struggling hitter, as we know. I'm at the thought of, hey, man, what's the worst that can happen? Yes, you could say double play, but I'm like, what if he doesn't? You know, what if he gets a base hit? What if the inning keeps going? I just didn't love the bunt in that situation.
Yeah, the theory being that you're giving up an out, you know, in a game like that. Because like you said, Dom, there are good things that can happen. And so they're trying to roll the dice and say, okay, a struggling hitter at the bottom of the order, let's at least try to put guys in scoring position for our best hitters at the top. But yeah, I mean, the other side of the coin is that you're giving up an out, and outs are precious in the postseason, Augie.
I've always been one, and I did this when I coached in college. It went by how we were swinging the bat. What was going on? How were we putting the ball in play? How are our bats? How are they pitching us? And there were times when I would go to the bunt just because I wanted to change how the defense would move. What you want to do is you want to take advantage of that defense and make a move. You might make a misplay. You make a misplay, all of a sudden, boy, now you got a chance for a big inning. I was always under the circumstances that depending on how the flow of the game was going, how we were swinging the bat, how they were swinging the bat the night before, would dictate what I would do in the game. I didn't think the bunt was that bad. I just think what Murph was trying to do in that situation is make the defense do something. You might lay down a perfect bunt. They may not make the play. Now all heck breaks loose. You got an opportunity to have a big inning. So sometimes I just think it goes by how you're playing the game, what you want to do, if you want to make that defense, change the defense, what they're playing, that make them move around, make them make some different throws, something good will happen. I used to do that in college. Every once in a while when I just had that urge where things weren't going well, I'd put down a bunt, and I know Scott Defica, who was the assistant coach at the time, would wave at me and say, no, 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 and I'd just look at him and say, yeah, 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 and we'd do it. But there were times when it worked and times when it didn't. It was just the flow of the game. I wanted to change something, and I think maybe that had a little bit to do with it.
So, Dom, you asked us the question, so now I'm going to ask you a question. Bryce Terang in the cleanup spot tonight, only three hits as a team, but Bryce, you know, not able to produce anything in that cleanup spot. I tossed this out at Augie in warm-up earlier this evening, and I thought maybe Murph is sticking Terang in the cleanup spot to kind of try to build up the confidence for him and just say, look, we believe in you. We trust you. We know you can put some quality at-bats together. So we're going to put you in this crucial position, and we think you can come through. It didn't work out, but I don't know. What were your thoughts on Terang as the cleanup guy?
Yeah, I think it was just sort of the thought of that keeps Boyd in the game a little bit longer.
Sure.
Right? Like putting Yelich in the leadoff spot, putting Terang hitting cleanup. Now he didn't face him for a third time. I think that was the attempt from the Brewers to say, all right, they're going to dare Boyd to get to Terang, but in the middle of that, you're going to have Churio and Contreras. And then, you know, the next ping on the bunt was, yes, Yelich struck out in a tough left-on-left battle, but then Churio to swing at the first pitch against the righty, that's an at-bat that he obviously wants back and, you know, got a little too big for him there. And with the Terang part of the question, you know, he was the team leader in production with runners in scoring position during the regular season. He started this postseason with an RBI double, and everyone was fired up. He's 0 for 5 since then. So I see, or I should say 0 for 4 with a walk since then. So the point being is, like, hey, if the Brewers are going to turn this around, it's going to be the guys in the middle of this order, not just Churio. I'm saying Sal, he's 0 for 5 with runners in scoring position. Bryce, he's 1 for 5, just the double in game 1 with runner in scoring position. And then even Joey Ortiz, but, you know, he's 0 for 5 or 0 for 2 with two walks and the sack bunt and one strikeout. You know, I Joey's batting ninth, but at the same time, the Brewers have got the production from William. They've got the production from Vaughn. They haven't got the timely hit from Yelly. So the way I see it is, it's got to be, you know, one of the underclassmen, if you will. Sal and Bryce are going to be the guys that lead this team to the promised land.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's something that was going on, and it's one way that I see Murph has changed a little bit. And when we watched him, we talked to 1-5-1-3-5-7, how he used to change the orders and have it left, right, left, right, left, right. What we've seen out of him in the last couple games is he's really put the righties together, and he starts off with Christian leading off today, and then he's got Churio and Contreras, and then Bryce Turang. But he's saying there, because those two guys were really swinging the bat as good as anybody. The two hot guys in our lineup were Churio and Contreras. He also did that later in the lineup, where he put Vaughn next back and Durbin right after him. When he put those two guys together, because what do those two guys do very well? They put the ball in play. They don't strike out a lot. They put the ball in play. And they're a little bit where you just talked about, Dom. Sal has had a little bit of problem getting the ball in play with runners in scoring position, moving the guys over. So you've seen him change the lineup a little bit, trying to do things a little bit different. Hopefully they would work out. And today it just didn't, because I tell you, I thought the Cubs pitched very, very well.
Yeah, I think we just need to find some of Jobu's rum right now.
And there you go.
See what can go in the right direction. Harry Doyle's about to be on the television again. So I think the way I see it here, guys, I just we can sit here and be pessimistic and be worrisome and just think that it's never going to happen. And I understand that attitude. I really do. It's been since 82. You don't have to explain it to anybody, right? But at the same time, the way I see it is, if you were, you know, betting on the season, that it comes down to one game. It's a cliche, I know. They got one game. It's at home. You know, this is what the season record of wins is for, to have it at home, to have that chance to have it at home. 2011, right? They win the first two at home. Oh, my gosh, best team in Brewers history. They're doing great. And then they lose two in Arizona. And you're like, oh, my God, they're going to get bounced at home. They can't do this. It's just like 08 all over. And then, boom, they win with T-Plush. You just don't know. You really don't. And that's the beauty of sports. I watched the Arizona Diamondbacks be down 2-0, coming back to Arizona, win 2, lose game 5. And all right, well, now they're going to get beat by the Phillies. And then they don't. Right? You just never know. These games are brilliant. These games are not predictable. And I'm fired up for Saturday, and I can't wait to be back on the mic.
Yeah. Kept the seat warm for you, Dom. So safe travels back to Milwaukee. Game 5 is all yours. Thanks for checking in with us, my friend.
Hey, Bob, appreciate what you've done for me these last 4 games. This is huge. I'm literally on a plane in about 5 hours.
Ooh.
So I'm excited to get back home and get a quick nap in. And Augie, appreciate you guys. And let's have a highlight on Saturday, shall we?
Deal.
It will be fun.
All right. When we come back in Brewers Extra Innings, more talk about Game 5. It's a couple days away. Getting closer to that exciting time for all the marbles. There it is. Waiting for it to kick in. Professional athletes trust Neurospine Center of Wisconsin, and you can too. From cutting-edge biologic injections to the least invasive surgeries, get a virtual second opinion available throughout Wisconsin. Visit nscwi.com. Neurospine Center of Wisconsin. Your spine health is their passion. All right, the Cubs won, Augie, 6-0. So I guess we got to give props to manager Craig Counsell for getting his guys back even in this best of 5 series. So here's the former Brewer skipper. And as always, every time Craig starts an answer with, yeah, I mean, you take a shot.
I mean, Ian, I'm just so happy for Ian. I think it was great for Ian to have the playoff moment that he deserved. And it was a huge swing, the first thing I would say is the crowd was incredible tonight. I mean, I've never seen a baseball game like that. That was just amazing what they did tonight. We offensively, we did a nice, really nice job of putting pressure on them often. And the crowd picked up on that, I thought, consistently. They were awesome with it. And we just made them uncomfortable. We just made every pitch uncomfortable. And that's what you're supposed to do.
Kyle had two hits yesterday, had two hits and a home run and two walks today. What does it mean to head into the lineup and just to your presence overall to have him back producing like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's when you see consistent pressure, I think it's people like Kyle that are so good at, like, every at-bat is just a hard out, a very difficult out, and that's what Kyle showed you today. And obviously he had the big swing with the home run, but on base four times. It's important. It's part of why, at times this has been a really, really good offense, and he's a big part of it.
Kyle?
Craig, Matthew giving you guys 4 2/3 scoreless, just, what did you see from him out there today in the elimination game?
I thought the first inning was just so important tonight. The Yelich draws a walk, and then he makes pitches. But just getting through the first inning was the key, to me, the key for Matthew's outing. And then as it went on, you just saw, like, the landing the slow breaking ball early in the count to get ahead, I thought was kind of the difference, right? And it just puts the hitter on what Matthew's so good at, is kind of that hard soft combination that gets the hitter in between, and the landing the whether it be the slow breaking ball or the change up early, let him kind of play with the hitter's timing, and he did a really nice job of it.
Here on the right side, second row.
Craig, we know that Matthew's really good pitching here, 12-1 this year at Wrigley. What part of Wrigley do you think he feeds off the most?
I mean, you guys said that before the game. I didn't realize it was 12-1. That's pretty awesome. It's more than I thought. I'm not sure. I mean, I think you should ask Matt that. He delivered a great one tonight. I know that it was really important to him after game one of how he, pitched tonight, and he gave us exactly what we needed. Danny gave a kind of a mid-game save, so to speak, getting Churio out second and third. But he put the game in order. Matt, he put the game in order, and it was a job well done.
That's Craig Counsell, Cubs manager. Yeah, Augie, 12-1 at home. That's like Freddie Peralta in Milwaukee. So he has all season long. He has thrived at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, right from the first inning. He was, again, like I said earlier, he was aggressive in the strike zone. And as the game went along, he just settled in. He was able to you could just see him starting to get comfortable, but yet not making the Brewer hitters comfortable. And that's what you do when you change speeds, you throw the ball to good spots. I thought he expanded the strike zone very well tonight, got hitters leaning, and was able to get the ball on the inside part of the plate on him. You get games like that when you've got that. You're going to be pretty successful. Freddie just couldn't quite get it there.
Yeah.
Threw the ball very, very well, but it just didn't have the good command that he usually has.
Something else that you don't always hear, not just in baseball, but in sports, the head coach, the manager, they might just have a throwaway line and just say, yeah, our crowd was great, right? We heard Pat Murphy say this after game one, where he was emphatic about how much the crowd helped his team. And you just heard Craig Counsell say this wasn't just a throwaway line saying, oh, our crowd is great, our crowd is always great. He was talking about how much the crowd helped put the pressure on the Brewers tonight. So the managers, you think they don't notice the crowd sometimes? Both these managers have noticed their home crowds, Augie.
Yeah, you do. And once you get on the mound, you're really focused on what you're doing. I pitch in front of 50,000, and you get out there and you're just trying to command a strike zone and make your good pitches. It's so neat when you do something really special, get through an inning, and when you walk off that field, it hits you in the heart. And I tell you what, to me, the Brewer fans are the best in the world, but I tell you, Chicago stepped up tonight because they needed to step up and help this ball club.
Yeah, Craig said that they actually helped the team.
That's right.
Helped push them, helped get that momentum early on, and Boyd fed off of it as well. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, equal opportunity manager soundbites after the game. Murph is next. At Tony Wendorf & Associates First Weber Group, they do more than close deals. They serve with gratitude and faith-filled purpose. They've sold over $300 million in real estate since 2020, and they're one of the top-ranked real estate teams in Wisconsin. They don't just get it started. What sets them apart? That they care. Even if they're not your agent, they'll still help you out. That's the kind of stewardship the community deserves. And if you're buying or selling across Southeast Wisconsin, let them earn your trust. Tony Wendorf and his team, they'll create red carpet experience for you. Contact them at wendorfteam.firstweber.com today. Bob Brainerd, Jerry Augustine here on the late night edition of Brewers Extra Innings as Milwaukee takes it on the chin to force a game five. Cubs win it 6-0, 10 hits to the 3 that the Brewers were able to muster. After the game, Pat Murphy down but not out.
Looked like Freddie was trying to establish that changeup pretty early on in the first inning, and he just was struggling to get it to competitive spots. Do you think that contributed to some of the sequencing in the swings?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, the 2-1 pitch to Happ is that changed the game. You know, like the other stuff, you know, and the first inning is always the toughest for a pitcher, especially in environments like this and big games. First inning can always be the struggle, and I thought he navigated and had him in a good position, but hadn't shown him the heater yet. And 2-1, you know, got too much of the middle of the plate, and that really doomed his whole outing. But other than that, I thought he threw the ball really well and gave us a chance, you know, kept him at bay. There was some momentum in the second inning, and he kept him at bay, and I thought did a really nice job.
Throw Scott in the middle, third row.
Murph, what did you see different from Boyd on the mound tonight? Did you see anything different in your guys' approaches against him in this turn?
Yeah, I mean, he was great. Boyd was fantastic. He made pitches. That's why they – how much money did they give him? Huh?
$39 million.
He earned it tonight. He was great. You know, he was on it. He didn't – you know, he didn't leave the ball down the middle. Made quality pitches in. You know – dropped his breaking ball in for a strike, you know, made pitches when he needed to. He was fabulous. And the catcher did a nice job for them, too.
Let's go to Russell, third row on the left.
Murph, with two opponents that know each other so well, you're probably expecting some momentum swings in the series. You guys had the first two. They've had it the next two. Going into a winner-take-all game five, how do you guys get that momentum back on your side?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you can't force. You know what I mean? Momentum in baseball happens based on what's on the field. You know what I mean? And the Cubs earned it. They had their backs against the wall, and they played great these last two games. They pitched great. They played great. They played great defense. They hit in the clutch. They hit homers. They're built to be great, and they played great these two games. So hopefully the tables will turn when we get into game five at our place. But, you know, we have to find out how bad, you know, we're going to fight back. We have all season. This is not a team that has strung together a losing streak or anything like that. And they've done it in a number of different ways. So I admire our team. I have faith in our team. And I think this had to happen this way. There'll be no tougher environment to play in than they just did. This is a good prep for us, and I think, you know, we'll be ready to play. I'm certain we'll be ready to play in game five.
That is Pat Murphy, and that punctuates, Dom was talking about that too, Augie, that Brewers have been in this position before.
They have.
This isn't like they got shell-shocked and woe is me, now what do? We don't stack up against these guys. They have always found ways to either A, win ball games, or B, if they have a — and this qualifies as a losing streak, like you, right? You've lost two in a row. But the Brewers have always figured out to avoid having a long, extended losing streak. They find out ways to get the job done. And will they get off the mat for game five? Yeah, you believe they will because they've already done it this year.
That's right. I think one of the biggest characteristics of this ball club, and we've talked about it from time to time, this ball club has what they call the Brewer brand, a way of going out and playing baseball. And they believe that they're going to go out each and every night and they're going to pitch well, they're going to play strong defense, and they're going to do the things they have to do to and swing the bat a little bit to win games, and they're going to play 27 outs. This is a team that will play 27 outs no matter what the score is and how they're playing, but they just need to get back to Brewer brand. The Brewer brand is going out and playing complete baseball. That means everybody going out and doing their little bit to help them win ball games, and that's what you see out of them. You see better at-bats. You see good pitches and situations, and the games aren't that far off. There's a couple pitches here, like we talked with Freddie tonight, couldn't get his breaking ball, couldn't get a change up over the middle of the plate, made a mistake with a fastball. Those things happen. And but this with this ball club, they never give in. They have a way of bouncing back. And I'll tell you what, this is a club that I see come on Saturday. They're going to be out. They're going to play their Brewer brand of baseball, and it's going to be a nice night to watch the Brewer ball club play.
Yeah, they're probably on the bus as we speak because it's sure. You know 90 minutes away, 90 miles away, and so they'll be home late tonight, but then get back at it with a day off tomorrow, and then you know night game now, so you get even a little bit more time to get yourself reset, recharged, and ready for game five. Another thing, Augie, so the first two games in Milwaukee, they win. Next two games in Chicago, they win. There's been nothing fluky about any of these games. The team that has won the game has gone out there and taken it. They have earned it. It was not some strange bounce of the ball or some, you know, the Phillies losing the series to the That's Dodgers. Right. Nothing like that. It has been clearly, in Milwaukee, the better team was the Brewers twice. In Chicago, the better team clearly was the Cubs twice. Both times, both teams figured out exactly what they needed to do to win, and they didn't rely on strange things or the baseball gods helping them out. It is just going out there, and it's will against will, isn't it?
Well, it sure is, and you know, that's one thing that this club has done all year long. It's that game. You just all you want to do is go out and you want to win that game. And they have never talked too much about looking down the line or looking behind them or what has happened or what they're going to do, what they have to do to get ahead of them. They go out and they play that game. And I think that's what's thing that's so incredible about this ball club, because you have such a great mixture of young ball players and veteran players that go out. Yes, do you rely on certain guys? Yeah, your Contreras and Yelly and you know Chirio. These guys are the guys that, boy, they step up to the plate. They really swing the bat along with Terang. They do a lot of good things. But it's really not that. It's everybody doing their part, everybody giving that good at-bat. And I think that's that Brewer brand of baseball, being good pitchers, good defenses, and really take to heart the offensive and make the adjustments you have to do is going to pay off on Saturday.
And here's the funny thing about baseball, and you know this as well as anybody, Game 5, we saw Game 4 tonight out in L.A.
That's right.
You can go and say, yeah, the better team won that game. And then all of a sudden, Game 5 can come along, and it can be as wacky as anything, and you may see something that you've never seen before, and that may swing the ballgame. You just don't know what's going to happen. So going to be fun no matter what happens as the Cubs and Brewers play one more time on Saturday night at American Family Field. More on Brewers Extra Innings when we return.
Coming. Drive to right, and Happ has given the Cubs a 3-0 lead. Peralta was trying to go up with the fastball. Didn't get it up enough. Ian Happ with just his third hit of the season.
Yuck. Unfortunately, Augie, that is our play of the game, because that's all the Cubs needed was that one swing. More than enough. Three runs there in the first, six when it was all counted up, and Cubbies win it 6-0. So that's our play of the game. It's brought to you by Surfside, proud partner of the Milwaukee Brewers. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka paired perfectly with a day at the ballpark. It's stocked at American Family Field all season long, including Saturday at the ballpark. 7 o'clock, Augie, you were asking me about first pitch. 7:08 for the first pitch, because it'll be the only game going on. Tigers and Mariners are going to sort things out tomorrow.
That's right.
So that'll be the third team that's in the final four field. And then the Brewers and Cubs will produce the fourth and final. So the Blue Jays are in. Either the Tigers, who are going to throw Skubal tomorrow, or the Mariners will be in.
It's going to be a great ball game.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great ball game.
And of course, the defending world champs, the Dodgers, are in to defend their title after they knock off the Phillies in extra innings in wacky fashion. So yeah, there's going to be a lot on the line, but Dom touched on this too. Yeah, you can gnaw your fingernails off and say, oh, here we go, typical Brewers, blah, 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 blah. But they're in this position. And sports is sports for real. It's entertainment. And it's going to be entertaining to have everybody in the building absolutely dialed in on every single pitch, because Cub fans that snarfed up tickets, right, they're going to be laser focused. Brewer fans are going to be laser focused. Everybody, that energy in the building, Augie, I don't think we're going to ever see anything like it.
I agree.
Because we've had
It's going to be really special.
We've had postseason games at County Stadium. We've had postseason games at Miller Park and now American Family Field. But this is different because it's Brewers and Cubs and it's everything on the line.
Yeah, it's so special. I think that our show tonight, if anybody, all the fans listening, there's a lot of water cooler talk going to be happening tomorrow at work. It's going to be really
later
interesting.
Later this morning, you mean.
Or later this morning, I should say. Yeah. Hey, what time is it? But it is. You know, it's so exciting. And, you know, you talk about the playoff baseball, and we talk about going through what we're going through right now. And we know there's two teams that are in, and the third team is going to be tomorrow. How befitting is it to be the last team to figure it out?
Yeah.
And who's going to be in it? Brewers and Cubs. I just think it's a really special story. I think it's going to be exciting. I think the Brewers are going to go out and play very well. It's going to be, the fans are going to be there. It's going to be generating a lot of noise to back their ball club. But, you know, you think of baseball, you think of the Brewers and the Cubs. What a befitting way to finish.
Absolutely. So, Augie, to the Wayback Machine, right? 1982.
That's right.
You were in three winner-take-all games in the postseason. Of course, the last day.
Yes, against Sutton and Palmer.
Sutton and Palmer in Baltimore, Orioles and Brewers. Then American League Championship Series, California Angels and Brewers in Milwaukee. Game five, you guys win. Then World Series in St. Louis, goes all the way down to Game 7, Cardinals win. But those three times, Augie, what do the players in the clubhouse, in the dugout, how do they approach a game that might be their very last, or it might propel them to the next round? Do you talk about it, or is this just business as usual?
It's business as usual. I think everybody understands what you're going out to play for and how you have to act and when what you go and you. But you know, there's so much talk going on. You know, it's your teammates. You've been with them for 7 or 8 months now, and you're going into some of the neatest things that happen in the game of baseball. Why you play the game? They all say the only team that's happy is the team that wins the last game. And that's the World Series winner. But it's really that special camaraderie that you have with your teammates and going out there. And everybody's focused. You don't have to say anything. You do it for 162 games and you get to the playoffs. But I'm going to tell you what, the friendships and the gamesmanship and everything you do with the guys that you've been with for those 7 or 8 months is so special. You never forget. And you'll never stop being friends. And you'll go back and remember things. And that's what makes it all very special.
That Brewer dock just a bit outside, when they talked to all you guys from 82, I mean, it proves your point. The bond and the love, and Robin Yount getting emotional, just talking about not winning the World Series. I mean, Robin Yount, heart of, I mean, that blew me away. But it echoes your point, Augie, that it stays with you the rest of your life, because win or lose, you go through these special games and these special moments that not everybody gets to experience in the world of sports.
And it is emotional. When the coaches come out or managers come out and they speak about a team after a big game, when that's a finalized, he said, I went in and I talked to my guys and I told them I'm really proud of them. We hung together. We did the best we could. It is emotional. It gets very emotional, and more emotional than most people think, because there's that bond between the guys that, you know what, that team you just accomplished something very special may not be there next year with the same players. And that makes it even more special, because there's special friendships and it's all about sport. Sport is about going out and trying to achieve the highest thing that you possibly can do and do it well. You can't get any better than winning a World Series, and Brewers might have that chance.
Yeah, so quit biting your nails, Brewer fans. Just enjoy Saturday. It's going to be a blast. Game five, Brewers and Cubs. When we come back, more of Brewers Extra Innings. We're going to put a big bow on this and get Augie to bed. Wish we had better news to talk about here on Brewers Extra Innings this morning. Yeah, it's morning, Augie. Bilstead and Vetrano will be in here shortly, so we better get out of here. But unfortunately, Cubs have tied up the series, the best of five, winning 6-0. in Game 4. So it's Game 5 for all the marbles, as they say. Saturday night, 7:08 is the first pitch at American Family Field. Okay, Augie, final thoughts. You and me and Dom, we kicked around all these ideas of, like, who are they going to start now in Game number 5? Lots of possibilities. What are you thinking?
I don't agree with the Koenig thing. I just think Koenig is so valuable as you get down in the game. And you get late in the game and you have the two guys that are swinging the bat real well in Bush and Tucker right now. I think you got to have them late in the game. I think if there's a group of guys that I would put together, I think Mizorowski's a possibility. I think Chad Patrick, the way he's been throwing the ball, phenomenal, is a possibility. I think Quintana is a possibility.
Ooh.
A veteran who's been there, understands it, has pitched for the Cubs. He gets it. I like his veteran, his leadership, and his the way he goes about his job.
To at least be the starter, right?
The starter.
All these guys you're talking about, just give us a couple innings or two.
But it could also be a little different. What about Nick Mears, the guy who's a closer for the starter? All he wanted is that inning to get out, and then you can make an adjustments. And I even went as far as I thought maybe, and this one's kind of far-fetched, but Grant Anderson, the way he can throw, he can pitch, because he's as good against right-handers as left-handers as he is against right-handers. He might be able to give you that inning plus, and get it. So that's a group of guys to start with. You can pick anybody you want, and I think you might have a chance to be right. But I think these are guys that they'll possibly look at.
And I'll tell you what, I don't think on the day off, I don't think we're Murphy and Council, not going to show their hand either. So you're going to find out sometime maybe Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, who it's going to be.
So, I would think so. Would think so. They're going to probably think about things and maybe let it sit there and stir it around a little bit and see what happens. But it's going to get interesting. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be fun.
7:08 is the first pitch, which means the pregame show will be 6:30 here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, which means warm-up will be 6 p.m. And Dom will be back after stealing all the airplane peanuts to host that as well as Brewers Extra Innings. Want to thank Dom for jumping on from the left coast. Want to thank our great producer, Matt Yazel.
Phenomenal.
Who also told me to go get the wings and fries here outside of the studio. Phenomenal, phenomenal choice there for dinner, Augie. They were really good.
And Sounds good.
Got some leftovers. But right now, Augie's got to go home, let the dogs out. We are so happy that you stayed up with us for this late night edition of Brewers Extra Innings. Join us again for warm-up, for the ball game, and for Game 5 between the Cubs and the Brewers. Good night, Wisconsin.